Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Big press conference yesterday outlining all the strategies for the coming months, and in particular Dublin and pubs and all those kinds of things. Could it have been clearer? A lot of people think so. And on the line we have Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, and of course Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. Good morning, Tánaiste.
Hi, how's it going? Lovely day for it.
It is a lovely day today. I accidentally called you on Taoiseach there a few minutes ago and was roundly moved upon by my colleagues. Do you ever get confused when you hear someone say Taoiseach, because you've been Taoiseach for so long, and then you turn around and go, yes, oh wait, that's not me?
Not anymore. First couple of weeks maybe, but that's very much fading out. It even happened at a cabinet meeting. The Taoiseach managed to call me Taoiseach. that was the early days.
So yeah,
everyone's well aware of their new titles and new positions now, including me.
The press conference came in for a bit of criticism in the last 24 hours, just because people felt it wasn't quite clear enough and there were more questions possibly than answers at the end of it. Did you feel it was a little bit muddled or confusing for people?
I think it went okay. I think one of the difficulties we face is that the plan is very detailed. You know, it's 60 pages long and there are these five different alert levels. And as I would have said to you last time we spoke, reopening the country is a lot more straightforward than, or sorry, closing down a country and locking it down is a lot more straightforward than what we're trying to do now, which is to continue to suppress the virus to manageable levels and at the same time reopen schools and colleges and workplaces and everything else. So it is more complicated, but there's a big campaign on now to make people aware of it, and you'll see ads in the newspapers, you'll see more information on the app if it's on your phone, and every household is going to get information on as well through the post. So it is a plan for 6 to 9 months, and if it takes a couple of days for everyone to understand it and for us to communicate it, well, so be it.
Right now we're in phase two. Can you broadly outline what phase two means for people on a day-to-day normal life basis?
Okay, so there are five levels. Level one is where we'd like to get to, where we'd be easing restrictions. Level five is where we don't want to get back to, very similar to where we were back in April or May. We're at level two nationwide and level two with additional restrictions in Dublin. And essentially that's all about limiting your contacts with other people, because that's how the virus spreads. It jumps from one person to the next, usually through droplets or respiratory secretions, sometimes by hand contact as well. Essentially what that means, so for example, is for households, it's limiting the number of people who you let into your household. In Dublin, it's just one other household. In other parts of the country, it can be as many as three. It is making sure that you limit the numbers of people you socialise with. So if you're going to a restaurant, for example, or a pub for Monday in the 25 counties, it's again just six people from no more than three households. In Dublin, again, more limited, maximum six people. Again, the basic rule of thumb is only meet up one other household if you're in Dublin. Mm. Work from home if you can. Schools are open with precautions. Colleges will open with precautions. Some restrictions around organized indoor and outdoor gatherings. No more than 50 indoors, no more than 100 outdoors. Some exceptions for matches. But again, they're organized, generally ticketed gatherings with somebody in charge. So it's able to control them, and it's possible to contact trace people and get people's names if there's an outbreak. Same would apply to kind of cinemas and theaters. They can have up to 50 people more in some circumstances.
Obviously Dublin...
So the plus side is, yeah, is people will be able to watch matches again this weekend, you know, up to 100 at a match on the sidelines. And indoor gatherings of 50, so long as they're controlled and people are in pods and it's organised and ticketed. On the downside, obviously, pubs won't open in Dublin on Monday. We're really saying to people that we need to restrict social contact. So don't meet up with more than one household, whether it's in your house or elsewhere.
Dublin is the focus after, you know, at the moment, obviously, because of the amount of cases. And I suppose there's a lot of confusion around whether we're being advised to not leave Dublin unless we absolutely have to. But of course people have organised weddings and communions and all these kinds of things over the border, and are wondering, is it okay to travel to those things? And then we see the main arteries, the main routes coming into Dublin, If Dublin has so many cases, then why are people not being advised to possibly avoid Dublin? Coming out is one thing, but there's thousands of people filling the roads every day coming into the capital.
Yeah, and you know, some of those may have to come into the capital, whether it's for work or whether it's to attend a hospital appointment. You know, you never know for sure why somebody is travelling. But certainly, we're saying to people across the country that work from home if you can. And what we're saying to people in Dublin is that we're encouraging you not to make any discretionary journeys outside of the Dublin city or capital area. Obviously, if you have to leave Dublin for work, or perhaps to care for somebody in another part of the country, that's different. But if at all you can cancel any discretionary journeys, please do so. That is advisory at the moment. But if we move up a level, if we move to level 3 or 4, which may well happen in the next couple of days or the next week, then that would be enforced.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How likely do you think it is that Dublin is going to end up at level 3 or even possibly 4?
We'll have a better idea on Thursday. NPHET, the public health doctors and scientists are going to meet on Thursday, and government will consider that advice in the days thereafter. The truth is the numbers in Dublin aren't good. We have an incidence of almost 100 per 100,000 over 14 days. That's by no means the worst in Europe. It's actually lower than Belfast, lower than Madrid and Paris and Barcelona and lots of other places. But in Ireland, we've generally been more cautious than most European countries and probably have benefited from that in the round. You know, a lower level of mortality, fewer deaths in Ireland than most of Western Europe. So we are a little bit more cautious. And it's not so much the numbers, it's the trajectory that we're worried about. The numbers of cases increasing, and that's starting to have a knock-on effect on the number of people in hospital in ICU, and sadly the number of deaths, still low numbers, but going in the wrong direction.
So
thinking is that it makes more sense now to try and turn that now rather than wait to see if it gets better on its own.
Yeah, and Thursday is the next time we'll get a briefing. You'll get a briefing from NPHET and make a decision.
Yeah, that's right. So under the new structure, NPHET, the advisory group, makes a recommendation on Thursday that gets considered by another group of people who will filter it. You know, because NPHET are, they're public health doctors and scientists. They're brilliant at what they do, but they don't know much about how to run an economy or a bus service or a school or a restaurant. So, you know, it needs to be filtered for communications reasons and for practicality reasons. And then government makes the final decision after that. That would be a decision that we'd make on Tuesday. But of course, if we have to organise a cabinet meeting earlier than that, we will.
Yeah.
What about maternity hospitals? A lot of people very vocal on this, and I suppose a lot of people sympathising with women who are having to go in and have babies or deal with issues around pregnancy, and their partners are you know, people they want to bring in with them aren't allowed. People were expecting a bit more on that yesterday. Are we going to see a change there?
Yeah, I know that's an issue that a lot of people are talking about. You know, my colleague, Senator Ian McCurry, has been raising that issue, and the Lord Mayor Hazeltu and others. Really, the best people to advise on that are the maternity hospitals themselves and the masters of the maternity hospitals. So far, I don't think we've had any. I think I'm correct in saying that no pregnant women in Ireland have died of COVID. We don't want that to change. And obviously, even though pregnant women in general are in good health, some are not and have complicated pregnancies. And there is a risk, let's not say otherwise, there is a risk of introducing COVID into hospitals. And there have been cases in at least one of our maternity hospitals in recent days. So, of course, everybody wants people to be able to bring their partner in, you know, particularly if it's for that scan or there's an appointment and, you know, you want the moral support of your partner with you. But at the same time, doubling the number of people coming in and out of our maternity hospitals does double the risk, both to pregnant women with complicated pregnancies and even to neonates, you know, the little babies who have to go in the incubators. And we just have to bear that in mind.
So you can't see that change in anytime soon?
It might change, but like I say, you know, that call really has to be made by the health professionals, by the masters of the hospitals themselves and their teams.
A lot of our listeners, certainly the ones who live outside of Dublin, have been pretty vocal in thinking that Dublin maybe is getting special treatment in terms of lockdowns, where they saw their own counties like Kildare or Laois are awfully getting locked down for cases that would be considerably lower than they are in Dublin at the moment. Do you think Dublin is getting special treatment, and why is the government so reluctant to lock it down?
It's definitely not getting special treatment, and you know, a decision will have to be made in the next couple of days or the next week as to whether we go to the next level, which would be what happened in Kildare, Laois and Offaly. But every situation is different. What you had in those counties was, you know, a lot of clusters, particularly focused around meat plants and direct provision centres. Dublin is quite different. It's more diffuse. It's kind of at a low level, much lower level than those kind of clusters, but a lot more diffuse and a lot more all over the place. So it is different. And as well, we do need to bear in mind the very real consequences of the fact that Dublin is our capital city, and bringing in the kind of restrictions that were brought in Kildare and Laois and Offaly, which had a very severe impact on business and people being laid off temporarily. The scale of that in Dublin it's like 10 times the scale. And, you know, I'm very conscious of what it would mean for tens of thousands of people in Dublin to be laid off, possibly for the second time this year, and for a huge number of businesses in Dublin, particularly in the hospitality sector, who are just about getting by, if even, and a further closure for a couple of weeks might be the death knell for them. And that has huge consequences. And something that I would always say to, you know, the public health doctors and the scientists and the other officials, you know, bear in mind, we're public servants. We have fairly secure jobs. This has been a very unequal and a very unfair pandemic. And those people with the least secure jobs, younger people, migrants, those working in small business in the private sector, they've borne the economic brunt of this. And we have to bear that in mind too. Their mental health, their financial health, these things do count.
Nicola in Dublin has a question for you. She wonders that if further measures are imposed in Dublin, would you consider doing it by regions within Dublin, since we're hearing certain parts have much higher number than others? Is there a chance of having, you know, intra-Dublin regional lockdown?
It's possible. We actually looked at that in relation to Kildare, because as anyone will know, Leaks of Selbridge, Maynooth is a very different place to rural mid-Kildare, South Kildare. But when we looked at the numbers, there were cases all over the county, really. Looking at Dublin now, it's high pretty much all over the county. There's only one area where it's relatively low, where it's near the national average. And that's what the HSE calls Dublin South, but a politician would call Dunleary. So that's roughly the area stretching from Blackrock along the coast down to Shankill and Loughlinstown and Bray. So that would be really the only area that you could consider excluding. A tricky thing to do, because does anyone really know where those boundaries are? You know, yeah. People do know where county boundaries are. Are there many people who'd be able to tell you the difference between local health area Dublin South and local health area Dublin South East? Probably not. But I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's not as straightforward as doing it on a county level.
Okay. You did mention last night in primetime something about the vaccine being available within the next 9 months. Pfizer are confident about being at that. What is the current vaccine plan? And is there a possible timeline we can know about at this stage?
There's a possible timeline, but you know, it is a possible timeline. There's no certainty about this. So what we're working towards is a situation whereby, you know, vaccines would get approved, hopefully early in the new year. There are three vaccines approved already, by the way, but they're in China and Russia, and we're not confident that they're safe to use or effective yet. So we're talking about a vaccine being approved in Europe or America. Again, hopefully, a million caveats here, hopefully sometime in the new year, but then it would take a few months to scale up production and vaccinate those who need to be vaccinated first. So, you know, you're really talking optimistically the middle of next year before that vaccine would make a difference in terms of herd immunity. So that's why this plan that we produced yesterday has that 6 to 9 month timeline. Mm. If it comes earlier, great. For a vaccine, vaccines take a while to develop, and it has to be safe and it has to be effective.
You're a big music fan, Tánaiste.
What we have done, though, which is some good news, is we have the government has entered an advance purchase agreement with one of the companies. So through the European Union,
okay,
and through our EU membership, we're already buying in advance, if you like.
Yeah, of the vaccine. It doesn't exist yet, but you're buying in advance now.
An option to buy, yeah. So we get it quickly.
Actually, before we get on to the music part of it, the time for testing seems to be almost stretching out to a week again. Are we in trouble there? What can we do to get quicker testing and quicker results? Because it seems that the only time testing actually works efficiently is when there isn't really too big of a problem. As soon as cases start to rise, it's being pushed out to 5, 6, 7 days.
Yeah, that's something I need to talk to our people about. You know, they're still telling us that the vast majority of tests are back in less than 2 days. So I am concerned when I'm hearing that that's not the case on the ground from some people. We can do about 100,000 tests a week, about 14,000 a day. We have been doing that on days in the last couple of weeks. We'll be up to a million tests this week. We're doing more tests per head than Germany, New Zealand, Sweden, lots of places that people talk about. But the turnaround times need to be quicker. So that's something definitely we'll be taking up with the HSE.
Have you spoken to Stephen Donnelly since he was tested yesterday?
Just exchange text messages, yeah. So he's fine.
You're not going anywhere near him.
a bit of a false alarm. Yeah. No, of course I will. Now, to be honest, it was a false alarm yesterday. So, you know, he felt unwell, went to his GP. The GP said you should go for a test, and he came back negative, and the doll sat last night, and everything is normal today. So it was a bit of a false alarm. It's not actually required that people restrict their movements unless it's a confirmed positive. But out of an abundance of caution, the public health authorities thought that we should, just in case.
You are a big music fan. When things return to some form of normality and gigs return, whenever that is, who would your dream band or act be to go and see?
Oh, I tell you, if things go back to normal next year, I'm going to go to every single festival I can possibly go to. I'm really looking forward to it. And if anyone wants me to speak at their Minefield or Spiegel Tent or whatever, I'd be very happy to accept the invitation. You know, I think today, on a day like this, it's a bit of a throwback, but you know, Steal My Sunshine.
Mm. Yeah. By Len.
So Len, that would be
that'd be a great
throwback.
Well, we'll have to give it a spin for you.
Yeah,
we absolutely will.
If you can dig that out for me, it'd be great.
Yeah, well, I'll blow the dust off the record here. We'll play it now in a second.
Well, look, hopefully, Tánaiste, we won't be hearing that we're in phase three, because I mean, three it means is, basically
I,
that.
I had plans for Dua Lipa, but I doubt she's coming now. But another time.
Oh, I'm sure you could just write her a letter. I'm sure she'd get back to you.
Tánaiste Liam Radker, Tánaiste, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. Thanks so much for this morning. We know how busy you are. Appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us.
Thanks a lot.
There you go. Thanks, Amelia.
Thanks, Tánaiste. Bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.